He's a former pro, an SEC analyst, and a damn good dog. Max Dinchcombe is only on the College Football Voice of the South. Presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union, Cigna Engineered Solutions of Georgia, and ASW Distillery.
Max Dinchcombe with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Matt, do you stand in agreement? Nothing's really going to change when you talk about the playoff standings tonight. It's still going to be 1-4, like we said, LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and Georgia.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, you look at the rankings and how they've – well, look, their justifications change week to week. However, there's not a real compelling case to do anything other than keep those rankings intact for another week. And, you know, it's when you look at from a conference standpoint, the SEC's perspective anyway, somewhat uncompelling slate of games. I mean, other than the one that's in Athens, would be the most interesting one, especially the way Texas A&M played versus South Carolina. So I think the 1-4, the playoff as it's set right now, that makes sense for them to just leave it be.
So the Tua injury, we were talking earlier, Nick Saban has to say what he has to say. He's got the right, and it might be perfectly acceptable. We're going to run a two-minute drill here. We're up 35-7. It's buzzard's luck. It's crap. It stinks on every level. But it also tells me that the margin of victory, which this group of 13 has told me doesn't exist and it's not a real thing, Nick Saban could have gone up and said, you want to know why he was still in the game? Because we got to win by more, not less.
And he'd have been right. And it's obvious that it means something. I mean, when Ohio State blanked Wisconsin a couple of years ago, what was it, final? 66-0?
59-0, and that gets him in the playoff.
That gets him in the playoff. And so, you know, it's not what you say, it's what you do. And it made sense. Absolutely. We all know what was going on there, right? Tua has had enough football at this point. Now, there was a point in time where Tua was a really good quarterback, but he wasn't. It was as if he was a really good football player that happened to be a quarterback. I don't think that he had – I know he didn't have great in-game awareness. And maybe it was just because he's – so good and such a good athlete and can improvise if he has to, that, you know, sometimes the game just kind of gets away from him, the circumstances of it. And Coach Saban even talked about, and this is two seasons ago, where they're running practice and they're running a two-minute drill, and the circumstances would dictate you either throw a completion or you throw it away because you have to save time. And instead, Tua, because he's such a good athlete, he's just out there running around. And the problem is, He runs off all the time on the clock. It ends up being a quote-unquote great play, but in those circumstances, it's not smart. He's played a lot of football since then. A lot's happened since then. So there was a point in time where legitimately you could say, look, man, he needs these reps in two-minute drill. Not there. What he was doing was exactly what you just described. I got to dress this thing up even more. We're up 28 points, and we need to be up even more to make it as compelling a case as possible on the outside looking in that we're one of the best teams in the country. And for sure, the committee has taught the teams, the D1 teams, the Power 5 or Group of 5, that margin of victory matters. They can say it doesn't, but they've taught us otherwise.
So do you think the cautionary tale now exists? Will we see? I'd asked, and I'm sorry, I'm not looking to pile on Tech, but if Jake Fromm is up 35-7 with a couple of minutes left, is it such a cautionary tale? Clemson. Yeah, something happens.
It's different there, though, right? It's different there because you win the game, you play in a conference championship, and you're in. Alabama doesn't get that opportunity.
Correct.
Now it really is a beauty contest. Yes, you got to win the game, but you got to win pretty. Georgia just needs to win. Clemson just needs to win. They're already in.
So 35-7 in the third quarter. Do you take Jake Fromm out?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
I'd probably pull him even earlier. But their path to participate in the playoff is clear in that they can control it. It's the outcome of their games that matter. For Alabama, yes, they have to win out. But they also have to win in a certain way. We all know that if Georgia wins by one point the rest of the way out, they're in this playoff, and that's all that matters. Alabama doesn't have that luxury. They have to blow teams out. They got to look good doing it.
Matt Stinchcombe with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. How concerned are you about LSU's defense?
About LSU's defense?
Yes.
From LSU's perspective? Darn concerned.
Yeah, from them winning, if they're going to win, we don't really see defenses that are ranked 51st in the nation in a number of categories.
No doubt. And just hemorrhaging yards to what is basically a one-dimensional offense at Ole Miss, although I think they threw for over 200 yards in that game the other night. It's concerning. Now, Is it a little bit of a hangover game for LSU? Possibly, but we've seen some substandard performances relative to what would be expected of a championship caliber team in LSU defensively this season. They haven't looked great in other contests as well, and you're going, man, this is different. This is bizarro world. LSU's offense, man, lights out, elite even. The defense, not so much. Now, I did read this week where Michael Divinity, who's their best pass rusher and sack leader, statistically, has been reintroduced to the team due to some off the field or personal issues, I think they cited. That potentially can help, but even when he was in the lineup, this was not the LSU defense that we've come to expect. They have been very much, and we talked about this previously, they've been an offensively driven team. It's unique. It's something separate and apart from what we've expected from LSU, but it also plays right into the expectations and overall college football narrative that says if you've got a great offense, you're a great team. We've seen that out of a lot of Big 12 teams, and they make it in the playoffs, and then you find out you better play pretty good defense, especially if your opponent has an adequate offense, one that can hang with your bad defense. All they got to do is stop you once, and if you can't stop them, well, you know, it's pretty much simple math at that point. They're going to win the football game. It's kind of, in some ways, like the Rose Bowl a couple of years ago. Georgia's offense wasn't nearly as explosive as Oklahoma's, but it was good enough. And their defense proved to be better than Oklahoma's defense, and that was the difference in the game.
So in about a 10-year run, because I'd asked the question yesterday, with LSU 47th overall, whatever you think total team defense is, there's a whole different – you can look at yards, you can look at points, you can look at whatever you want, but they're 47th there. I think they're second in offense. So
51st in the nation in long scrimmage plays.
But it's 47th overall.
You're talking about 13.3 plays of 10-plus yards per game, 47 plays of 20-plus yards, that's a little less than 5 per game. They're giving it up in chunks.
But I tried to find the outlier. So in 10 years, somebody did the math. In the last 10 years, Matt, 9 of the national champions finished in the top 20 in total defense. 8 were in the top 10. Clemson was 60th. So there has been an outlier in 10 years when you try to figure out how bad can you actually be as long as the other side is good enough to make up for it.
They had to win a shootout.
And I will say, I think there's another one. I want to say the 2010 Auburn National Championship team. That was not an elite defense. I want to say they were in like the 50s or something in some of those.
60. They're it. You're it. They were 60th that year. They're the outlier. No doubt about it. It's the 2010 season. You hit it on the head.
So there you go. Yeah, so that's the one. And so what does that tell you? I mean, it's a couple of things, right? Joe Burrow, if he doesn't win the Heisman, not that I pay a ton of attention to that thing anymore, but – he's got to win the Heisman, right? But he's certainly a different talent than what Cam Newton was even in that game. You're not going to grind it out. He's not going to be a tackle-to-tackle runner. He's not a given first down on third and anything less than 3 yards. Cam Newton was. I'm just saying that, yes, the ability to outscore, it is important. But LSU's defense, it's a problem. They are not a complete football team right now. You look at others, and they may very well be. Ohio State might be, at least perceptibly from the outside looking in, and it's not as good competition, they look to be the most complete football team right now.
So can I ask you, if we go by the great eyeball test that nobody really knows what it is, and that's the beauty of the great eyeball test, they gave up 38 to Vanderbilt. Nick read the scores yesterday.
LSU.
Is there a number that if they give up to Arkansas, you can go, I know you got quality wins, but maybe you're not the best overall team in the country. Could you do that in a matter of a week if the number for Arkansas is too big?
Well, as the committee?
Yeah. As a guy in the room, if not the whole committee, is somebody supposed to stand up and say, they gave up 38 to Vanderbilt. They just gave up 30 to Arkansas. They stink.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? I don't know how you could, because the counterbalance, so your counterpoint from an evidentiary standpoint, so if you're looking at Ohio State, right, and you're saying, but, and Ohio State did, what did Ohio State do? To me, there almost has to be like, so what destabilizes LSU as the number one team? Yeah, that defense looks like you could compromise it. But at this point, you've established them as the number one team in the country. How ugly does it have to be in the game versus Arkansas, which is hard for me to conceive that it will be? And then you look at Ohio State. What will Ohio State have likely done in that same time frame that would warrant them making the jump? Ohio State, to me, to date anyway, hasn't been nearly as challenged as LSU has. And we'll look back at the end of the season, and this is the hard part, is that when you look at LSU's competition, Texas is not going to look as good. And they're kind of unraveling, as most of us probably anticipated, as the Sugar Bowl is a false positive. And then you look at like a Florida at the end of the year. And they're going to be a 10-win football team, but they dropped a couple of games, albeit to two top four teams. And then you look at Auburn, and Auburn's going to get beat up. So their record is still good, will be a good one versus what we know to be good football teams that might not have glowing records because they all got to play each other. That's the difficulty of being in the SEC West or the SEC in general, whereas Ohio State might get propped up a little bit more. You know, Cincinnati, they're going to have a pretty good season. Everybody's acting like they're a really good football team. They beat UCF. Great. They got shelled by Ohio State. That's one of their validating wins.
Well, you got Wisconsin, then you've got Penn State and Michigan to close out the season, then the Big Ten championship game. That's going to help them, one would believe. Now, the interesting thing is, and Matt Egger, our producer, Matt Stinchcomb, by the way, with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line, brought this up earlier. Texas A&M could be a real wrecking ball to close out the season, taking on Georgia, then LSU.
There's no doubt. And when you look at that football team, Texas A&M, we knew coming into the season, had a brutal schedule because obviously they got to go on the road to play Clemson. You know, you got to play Alabama. You know, you got to play LSU. You got to play Auburn. You got to play Georgia. I mean, you're picking fights on the other side of the conference with teams that you don't necessarily want to invite. And you go out of conference and pick a fight with one of the best teams in the country. So outside of the Auburn game, and they underperformed versus Arkansas as well, call that a hangover performance as well. But Texas A&M's not a bad team, and they ran the football with authority the other night versus South Carolina. 319 yards, I want to say, on the ground, 46 carries. They're physical. They got a dynamic playmaker at quarterback. They've got a defense that I think probably is underperformed. I think that's a fair statement to make, but they looked lights out the other day versus South Carolina, where they are outright hapless on offense maybe at this point. Maybe that's circumstantial. Either way, A&M might be getting good enough at the wrong time for some of the best teams in the conference. They finish with Georgia, and then, of course, they get that date versus LSU to close out the season. We all know how it went last year versus the Tigers with a 7-overtime victory for the Aggies.
So it's the $75 million question. Did we bring you here to kind of lose to only the better teams you play, or can you win one? I can't if I'm Georgia. I joke, you can't get Jimbo'd. You can't have him put the hat on you that says, there's my big signature win. Everybody get out of here.
Yeah, are you saying, like, so Jimbo says, look, man, we're putting all the horses in this race versus Georgia so that we can hang our hat on something at the end of the year?
Well, I don't want to be, as a fan base, the first team that Jimbo Fisher actually got.
And it was nice they beat Kentucky and LSU, but this would be their signature win.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, this is hit the pelt that he would be most proud to have in his teepee, so to speak.
Yeah, and it gets him off the back for a little bit. But it is crazy that they become arguably the most important team, or one of the most important teams in college football, with how they finish up. I do want to ask, because Clemson, we talked about a little bit yesterday. I mentioned them last week. Never has a team been probably great that's laid in the weeds and had nobody said anything about them as they truck people left and right.
Talk about the Clemson Tigers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, and what's diminished all the hype around them was what happened versus North Carolina. You know, the Tar Heels did the right thing. Go for two instead of playing for overtime, because, look, you know you're not the better team. You got to win now. More football is better for the better football team, you would think, typically, although Georgia's got a case study that says otherwise. But you look at North Carolina in that two-point game, this point conversion game, and that's the Clemson stub their toe game. Now, they've gotten the victory, and decisively so. Trevor Lawrence seemingly has righted the ship. You know, we might have had some unfair expectations of Clemson and a sophomore quarterback coming into this season, especially given some of the new faces they had on defense. And yet, you're right. That might be – you look at Ohio State and you look at Clemson, you're going, those two teams look like potentially the most complete football teams. Mm-hmm. Ohio State's played a better schedule and will at the end of the season have played a better schedule. Clemson won't. And so you kind of have this – you know, there's vagaries around that assumption, whereas Ohio State eventually – will give us the opportunity to have at least validated, man, they really are for real. They are a fully realized and complete football team. You know, Georgia's got flaws. LSU's got flaws. Maybe that's a function of the competition. Maybe it's not. But Clemson will not have the opportunity to validate that element of their game, and Ohio State will.
I got to look back, too, now. This is the next project to work on. Clemson might end up playing nobody who's ranked. And I'm not sure anybody's ever won a national title in a year where nobody they played was ranked. I think there's a really good possibility that even in the ACC championship game, they'll play an unranked opponent.
Texas A&M's the only team right now.
I think maybe, and we're saying at the end of the season, none of the teams they played will have been ranked, which, let's be real, that really does matter the most. Although there's things that happen over the course of a season, right, where we'll say, oh, so-and-so beat four ranked teams, where you're like, well, they might have been ranked at the time they played them. I think Syracuse might have been ranked somehow the week that Clemson played them. Am I making that up? I don't think so. I mean, at one point in time, they played one or two, I think, teams that were ranked at that time.
And if A&M loses their next two games, they're not going to be ranked. So that's, I think, the outlier game. Depends what A&M does. Can they still be in the top 25 losing five games? That would be Clemson's best shot, I think, because Wake Forest isn't ranked right now.
Yeah, and I think, you know, A&M, there's a chance that they do that. Also depends on how they lose, right? They can't just get boat raced, and they likely won't. So, you know, A&M could be their lone, you know, reference point at the end of the season that says, yeah, you know, we beat a good team. We beat them early in the season.
Who you got this weekend?
I got the Bulldogs taking on the Auburn Tigers back-to-back. Sanford version of the Bulldogs this time. Sanford versus Auburn.
Oh, it's a fun game for Auburn. Everybody gets to play.
Yeah, empty the benches maybe. Plus, you know, the head coach at Sanford, Chris Hatcher, just a phenomenal coach, fantastic personality, and spawned who knows how many head coaches, but two of them in the SEC East right now, and Kirby Smart and Will Muschamp. Both of them were on his coaching staff at Valdosta State.
What is that payday? I don't know what the actual number is, but think about that. Is that game booked because of the guy? I'm not sure what the relationship is between the two schools. I don't know how often they've actually played. But that's a really nice payday for a guy whose name, and you just said how much you like him. That's a good day for his kids, too.
There's no doubt. And they get to play at home, right? You just drive down the road. You play at Auburn. You play in a big venue. They've done this before. We did one of their games 2 years ago. Devlin Hodges, you know the kid that's played quarterback for the Steelers this year? They call him Duck, because he won the Alabama duck calling contest a couple years ago. That kid's a heck of a player. And they were leading Mississippi State heading into half. They would pick six, kind of got away from him. That would have been his best win at Samford. You know, these big stages don't shock a guy like him, and he gets his teams ready to play. They're way outgunned in this one. But it's a fun day for that team, that program, and, of course, the families around it.
Matt, you've done your research. That's impressive.
Well, I did that game, so you know, I was there for all four quarters of it, so I knew what happened.
Oh, that wasn't a
You're
game.
You're also very humble. That's impressive, too.
That wasn't one of the games where they let you leave after three? I'm out of here.
You know what?
I'm Matt Stinchcomb. I'm in a College Football Hall of Fame.
They haven't let me do that yet. They require that I'm there for the entirety of the game.
As we like to say. As we like to say, it's a very important part of the process. Matt Stinchcomb, enjoy the weekend. We'll do it all again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, sir.
There he is, Matt Stinchcomb on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line here on the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM.